progressive voice of Minnesota. Glad to have you with us on your Tuesday afternoon. We are 1 week away from Christmas Day and only 1 week away from the end of Christmas music. I still have nightmares from working at music radio stations and playing that Christmas music. There's only so many versions of Frosty the Snowman you can listen to, or Jingle Bells, or you name it.
Well, if anyone's a big fan of Christmas music, I've got hundreds of Christmas vinyl records for sale right now. Email comment at amm950radio.com.
Myself from 7 years ago would have really appreciated that. At one of the stations I worked at, I swear, we had a loop of like just 40 Christmas songs. The worst one I can't listen to anymore is that Beatles Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about. It's not even like a Christmas song, but they kind of made one.
Yeah, I think it's Paul McCartney.
Or is it Paul McCartney?
No.
Giving
Wonderful
me nightmares.
Christmas time.
Yeah. Oh God. I just can't do it with that song. Although at another station I worked at, they actually had a really eclectic list of songs that they could choose from. They had like a library of over like 3,000 songs and some really obscure ones from like the 40s and 50s. Really cool stuff. That one I didn't mind, but still playing Christmas music for those 2 months back in 2011. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
You're right, when there's a more eclectic mix rather than just a radio playlist.
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of, when we're cleaning out these records, because we've been selling them on Facebook and stuff, but there's some instrumental ones of different interesting instruments, and that a whole new twist on it. So I've been enjoying Christmas music because I've had these records. So
you know who did release a Christmas album a number of years ago, of all people? Bob Dylan.
Oh, wow. Old Bob Dylan Christmas
album? No, I think it's a rather new Bob Dylan, but he doesn't strike me as being much of a Christmas
singer.
No, that's
singer. That's kind of the Grinch's album.
Yeah, that's about what it is, yeah. Someone once described me, it's kind of like the Fozzie Bear Christmas. That's kind of what it sounds like. But anyways, only one more week until Christmas. By the way, we are going to be closed at the station here on December 24th, 25th, also the 31st and the 1st. But we do have some great shows lined up for you, some pre-recorded shows we've done ahead of time. I've been compiling some interviews over the past few months that we'll play back. We'll have those coming up for you. I'll play those back on New Year's Eve and then also Christmas Eve. New Year's Day and Christmas Day here on AM 950 during the 4 p.m. hour. I think during one of those, we're going to play back your interview you had with the guys from Chapo, because that was such a great interview talking to those guys. Chapo Trap House, if you're not familiar, a very popular podcast that, well, you describe what Chapo is.
Yeah, it's probably the most popular left-wing podcast that's currently going. I mean, by far, it definitely is. They have a huge following, loyal fans, and they actually came in studio when they were here in town, October 18th. I know that because my birthday was the day before, and that was my birthday party. So, yeah, it was a really good show. And we talk about what's great is playing that back is we pretty much talked about timeless topics. It wasn't focused on the upcoming midterms. Mm-hmm. We only talked about that for about a minute in the entire show. So a lot of timeless topics for people to be interested in.
Yeah, make sure you tune back and listen to that. We'll probably replay that Christmas Day. We may even do New Year's Day as well, since a lot of people going to be out and about, and check out their podcast as well. And speaking of podcasts, I know some of you listening out there maybe aren't totally familiar with how podcasting works. Feel free to email us, comment at am950radio.com, or find links to our email addresses on am950radio.com. Would be more than willing to give you a tutorial on how podcasting works, not only for, of course, some of the great national shows like we were talking about with Chapo, but also our great local shows, whether it's the 4 p.m. hour, which, by the way, coming up in the new year, we are going to finally have a name for this show. It's been nameless for about 5 months now, but we are. We've met about it today. This show is going to have a name that Hunter, myself, and Doug host. We're coming up with some names, and I think you'll like some of the ideas we have, but we're still working on that.
Tweet us or Facebook us your ideas.
Maybe you have some ideas out there. Yeah, help us brainstorm. We can make it bring the listeners in on the brainstorming for the name of the 4 to 5 p.m. show. But we promise you we will have an official name for the Doug, Brett, and Hunter show. I guess that's the tentative name for now. Until we have that all branded and ready coming up during the new year in 2019. But getting back to my point, podcasting, if you are unfamiliar with it, feel free to shoot us an email, comment at am950radio.com, or you can just call us as well on the business line, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. 8885. You can also call that 6205 call-in number, although you're less likely to get an answer outside of our live shows. But love to explain to you how podcasting works, how you can find our show, since I'll even admit, even though I'm technically a millennial, I was even kind of unfamiliar with podcasting up until like 3 or 4 years ago. I was still doing the nerdy way where I'd actually download the shows from the site and then actually manually put it on my iPod. How terrible is that?
Yeah, I kind of have that same habit, too, because we grew up at a time where you had to do that.
Yeah, that was the old way to do it, yeah. So I wanted to podcast stuff. I actually would have to manually move it to an old-school iPod until I finally discovered the Apple Store app and how you can podcast stuff through iTunes. So it's super easy to do. Feel free to reach out to us. We'll be more than willing to help you. In fact, at some point during the new year, I think we should probably do like a podcasting tutorial for people. I don't know if we'll necessarily air it live, but maybe we can put it on our website so people who are unfamiliar with podcasting can figure out how that works. Since podcasting, the way things are going, and it's a great way if you can't listen to us from 4 to 5 p.m., since a lot of you out there are probably driving and commuting and don't listen to the entire show, it's a great way to pick up on anything you missed. Mm-hmm. So with that said, let's get right into the news of the day. The University of Minnesota has a new president. They have named their first female president of all time. It is Joan Gable. She was formerly the provost at the University of South Carolina. She's going to make a cool $640,000 in base salary under a contract. Regents also backed unanimously. She will receive a $150,000 retirement contribution in 2020 and could fetch a performance bonus to be negotiated at a later date. So either way, she is going to be getting well paid. And that figure kind of is eye-popping when you look at the fact that with those bonuses, she's going to be making upwards of about $750,000 a year. And I kind of initially look at that and say, boy, that's a lot of money to be paying a university president. But then I compare it to what college coaches make. If you look at P.J. Fleck, the University of Minnesota coach, who, by the way, just got a contract extension, even though his team only went 6-6 this year. Granted, they did beat Wisconsin, which is awfully nice. He's getting an extension and making millions of dollars a year. Richard Pitino's the basketball coach. He's making a ton of money. Same with Bob Motzko, the new University of Minnesota hockey coach. So, I don't know, maybe that salary is justified. If you look at how she's going to compare to other Big Ten presidents, she'll pretty much be in the middle of the pack. She'll be rated 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th out of the 14 Big Ten schools at $640,000. I wouldn't have guessed this. Do you know which university in the Big Ten has the highest paid president? I would have thought it would be Ohio State or Michigan, since those are two big schools. It's actually Northwestern.
Oh, wow. What I was going to say.
Yeah. Ohio State's only second. Michigan only checks in at fourth. So that is the new University of Minnesota president, Joan Gable, the first female president in U of M history. So I want to move on now to talking about health insurance, since Obamacare was, well, temporarily ruled unconstitutional on Friday by a right-wing judge in Texas. Now, initially looking at that, I was kind of confused by that ruling because I'm no lawyer, and I originally thought, well, the Supreme Court has already ruled that Obamacare was constitutional twice. But what's different about this one is that since Republicans changed the way that the individual mandate was basically zeroed out, where now you still technically have to have insurance, but they'll fine you $0. They essentially eliminated it. And that was the reasoning of the Texas judge saying that, well, Obamacare is unconstitutional now. So therefore, the entire law collapses because the individual mandate has been zeroed out. The logic doesn't make any sense, but that's essentially what this Texas judge ruled. So I thought, well, doesn't this kind of go against what the Supreme Court ruled? Well, not necessarily. And this guy's ruling is not going to stay in place as well, at least in the short term, because Obamacare still is the law of the land as this goes through the appeals process. So I was kind of confused by that initially when I saw that Friday. I thought, well, is Obamacare officially gone? Well, not technically. It still is the law of the land, but it will go through the appeals process. A lot of people think that will end up being overturned in the appeals court. And legal experts think if it is overturned in the appeals court, that's likely to be the end of it. It won't be taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court. However, if it is upheld by the appeals court, then legal experts say it probably would move on to the Supreme Court. And then we would have a big fight with the conservative and the liberal justices, and it would be interesting to see how Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts come down. I think Brett Kavanaugh is kind of positioning himself right now to be a moderate in the short term, as he's really under the microscope. But if we get into the nitty-gritty and a big Obamacare ruling, I don't know which way he's going to go. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, because he's talked about this. So he is kind of on the hook in this case specifically because of in his interviews, he talked about the legal precedents and another case. But he is kind of a slam dunk vote that he will support Obamacare in this case.
He will support Obamacare.
I'm very confident about it. I heard someone say be less than a 1% chance he would vote against how the Texas court ruled.
Interesting. I've heard from some people saying that Kavanaugh might not be this traditional Republican, that he might be one of these people who's more kind of a Trumpist, who's not necessarily a Republican at heart. He's kind of more, I hate using the word independent, but maybe more of a renegade, or kind of a, I can't think of a better word for it, free spirit or whatever on some of these rulings. So yeah, maybe Kavanaugh would rule against it, but that's likely only going to happen if the appeals court ends up upholding what this guy in Texas ruled with Obamacare. And by the way, a good reason why we elected Keith Ellison as Attorney General, well, he of course is not going to be part of this lawsuit, because if Doug Wardlow was elected Attorney General, he very much would be joining up with this lawsuit against Obamacare. In fact, Keith Ellison already wrote on Twitter, "My job is to help Minnesotans afford their lives and live with dignity. This ruling is the exact opposite of that. As the people's lawyer, I'll fight with everything I have to overturn it." So thankfully, Keith Ellison going to be on the opposite side of that argument. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have thoughts on health insurance, because coming up on the other side of the break, I want to expand on something that Doug Padgett talked about yesterday on his show. He had an interesting proposal about how we could insure people in the future in terms of maybe having private insurance actually insure small claims while the government would fund bigger claims. He'll actually explain this better in his own words. We're going to play back part of Doug Padgett's show yesterday. And I want to get your thoughts on this too, because I think in the future, when Democrats do have control of both houses of Congress and also the presidency, I don't know if we're going to be able to move in the single-payer direction all in one fell swoop. Unfortunately, in this country, we move at very incremental steps. And I think what Doug Padgett talked about yesterday could be one of those good incremental steps in the short term that could put us on the path more towards single-payer health care. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes here on AM 950. Give us a call at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Total Dog Company is the destination dog food and gear store on the west side of the Twin Cities, with easy access off of 169. We have a growing group of loyal customers and increasing numbers of referrals from dog professionals and dog parents because we carry quality products, give sound advice, and are easy to do business with. Total Dog Company keeps up on the latest developments in dog nutrition and products. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Looking to offer high-end restaurant-quality food at your next event? Look no further than D'Amico Catering. Their talented team of event planners and chefs will collaborate to perfect a menu that best fits your needs. Whether emphasizing local cuisine or ethnic flavors, organic bites or summertime favorites, they're here to give you choices that align with your taste, budget, and style. Interested in learning more? Please visit D'AmicoCatering.com. That's D'AmicoCatering.com.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the unnamed Brett Hunter and Doug show until we have a name coming up in 2019. I liked your idea there, Hunter. Send us your ideas if you want to name this show. Lots of ways you can contact us. You know the ways. Call us 952-946-6205. Email, comment at am950radio.com or send us a Facebook message. Lots of ways to contact us. So I want to continue on the healthcare discussion. So the Pioneer Press put up a really interesting and I thought very informative article that kind of encapsulates what's happening with health insurance in Minnesota in the wake of how Obamacare was essentially ruled unconstitutional by this right-wing judge in Texas. So here's what they're talking about, how there was a reinsurance program that was put in place in Minnesota a few years ago, which helped offset some of the costs of premiums, especially on the individual market. So MinSure just passed its first enrollment deadline this past Saturday, and for the second year in a row, rates are declining, including for yours truly, actually, who's on the individual market. Mine went down by about $30, and access has been largely maintained, and enrollments remain steady. And the stability keeping consumers in the market, of course, didn't happen on its own. That's because of that reinsurance program that was put in place by Governor Dayton and also the state legislator. It took widespread government intervention and the commitment of hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money to stabilize Minnesota's individual insurance market. Those interventions are set to expire, unfortunately, at the end of next year, so that'd be 2019, unless lawmakers extend them and some of the sources of funding that paid for them are also going to be in question. So I was affected by this as well because initially before this reinsurance program was put in place, I was on the individual market. By the way, I still am. But as soon as they put that reinsurance program in place, I think it was back in early 2017 when it first took effect for me, my premiums ended up going down by about $75 a month, which was big for me because I won't get into the exact dollar amounts of what I was paying, but that was definitely a significant decrease and a big financial relief for me because that $75 spreads out to a little over $1,000 a year of relief. And that reinsurance is still helping me personally as we speak because, well, my rates went down again this year, which is certainly good news. Mine went down by, I think, $20 or $30. Don't know the exact dollar amount. So that reinsurance is really important for a lot of people on the individual market. And it, of course, helped other folks as well. Continuing on with the Pioneer Press wrote, of course, the initial rollout of MinSure was plagued with technical problems in Minnesota and across the nation. When the system did work, Minnesotans had a competitive individual market with some of the lowest premiums in the nation, and the rate of uninsured plummeted in Minnesota. I remember that initial rollout as well. That was a nightmare signing up for MinSure at that point. I think you were still under the age of 26 at that point, weren't you, Hunter? So you probably were on your parents or doing something else with your insurance. We don't need to get too personal with that.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. So that was actually my first year on the market as well because I was just turning 27 at that point, so I had to come off my parents' plan because at that point you could stay on with your parents until you were 26. That was definitely an interesting time when MinSure first opened up, but of course it did improve as the years went on. So basically, after the initial MenSure launch, the state's insurers had more than $600 million in costs beyond what they had collected in premiums, according to data the Minnesota Council on Health Plans presented to lawmakers in October. So essentially, these plans ended up being $600 million more expensive than they expected. And this, of course, had an effect on people like me who were on the individual market because my rates skyrocketed between, I believe it was 2013 and 2014, and definitely hit the pocketbook very, very hard for me. So one of the ways that the state tried to offset some of these increases was by setting up a reinsurance bill. So continuing, in order to stem their losses, insurers increased rates dramatically, throwing the, and as we talked about just a second ago, they basically increased the rates on the individual market because, well, the costs ended up being much more than they forecast. So what Minnesota did, they approved $312 million worth of state spending to give customers who didn't qualify for tax breaks through the Affordable Care Act a 25% rebate on their insurance premiums in 2017. But this is an interesting part I didn't know about with this reinsurance program. Also under the plan, insurers, get this, would get government aid for 80% of the costs of a patient incurred between $50,000 and $250,000. So any insurance amount that was between over $50,000 and less than $250,000, 80% of that was actually getting subsidized by the government and going through as a payment to insurance companies. And that led to a lot of premium relief for people because, well, obviously, those higher amounts between $50,000 and $250,000, those are expensive healthcare costs. So the government tried to subsidize some of that, which led to some of the premium reductions. So the measure won approval back in 2017 with some bipartisan support, interestingly, but it was favored more by Republicans than Democrats because, of course, the alternative would have been some kind of MenSure buy-in or even a single-payer option. So that's kind of an interesting recap, and I didn't actually know about that, or it was something that kind of slipped under the radar for me, that we actually were reinsuring insurance companies at 80% of the costs a patient incurred between $50,000 and $250,000. And what I find kind of similar to what Doug was proposing is that this is essentially the government subsidizing health insurance costs. And it's similar to what Doug was proposing when he was talking about how, under his idea, that basically some of these big ticket expenses that occur when you're getting healthcare would actually be covered by the government, while some of the smaller ticket costs would actually be still covered by private insurance. In fact, Doug's going to do a much better job explaining what exactly he was talking about with his health insurance idea. Hunter, let's go ahead and play back what Doug's idea is, because I think this is a really good idea and something that could gain some bipartisan support.
We have this thing where we say to people, hey, you probably need to have insurance because things, you know, if something cataclysmic happens, what John mentioned in his own heart condition or people that have other diseases or a car accident. And that's really motivating, actually. Like, that makes you want to have insurance. I actually think the way we should do it is that the federal government, state government should cover catastrophic health needs like that, that we have, and anything else that's a part of your regular health updates and the kinds of things that are not considered in the cataclysmic category, we should carry private insurance for those things. But the government should kick in when it gets to be the big numbers. And that's how we could create a system by which everyone is covered for the cataclysmic things, and some of the smaller things people need to carry their own coverage for. And then insurance companies are only having to cover the non-cataclysmic pieces, and we could spread out the cost for the cataclysmic medical costs across the entire federal and state systems.
So this is actually very similar to what's happening kind of right now in Minnesota. And I wonder if Doug's proposal could actually pick up some Republican support, because, again, as we talked about, we're sort of doing this right now where the government is paying 80% of the costs a patient incurred between $50,000 and $250,000. Doug's proposal will essentially be, I mean, pick your dollar amount, but maybe the government would pay 100% of the costs incurred above $50,000. That's a very general idea. He was talking more about kind of catastrophic procedures, but I think it's a step in the right direction. I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I have some other thoughts on why this would be a good idea as well, but let's run the calls. We got two Brads on the line. In fact, we had a third Brad call earlier as well. It's kind of Brad Day on AM 950. Let's go to Brad number one. That's Brad from Robbinsdale. He wants to chime in on healthcare. Hi there, Brad from Robbinsdale.
Yes. Who knows how this, you know, this judge's decision in Texas is going to play itself out in the appeals process. But unless I'm missing something, you know, again, I think maybe one way to get beyond this impasse here is for Congress to reinstate the mandate, which I would find pretty ironic. But again, that seems sort of the, you know, the focus of that judge's decision.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah, most certainly the focus of his decision, because he said since the mandate was zeroed out. By the way, the mandate, I guess, still technically is in place, but the fine is just $0. So it's kind of there, but it's not there. But he was basically judging that, well, it's not there because it's $0, and that's his logic behind why the law collapses. But I don't know if Republicans would actually reinstate that, because that's kind of the whole crux of Obamacare and why they don't like it. Although I think if they were the ones that passed Obamacare, they'd probably be in love with the law.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And by the way, I'd like to wish to all the listening audience a happy Ramakrishna Hanukkah Kwanzaa Navidad solstice.
Oh, you got all of them in there. I got to do the math here. Did he miss any? I think you got them all there, Brad.
I think you got it, too.
Can you say that one more time for us?
Okay, have a good one.
All right, I'll... I think no, gonna,
yeah. He doesn't want to be audited on it.
Yeah. Well, he nailed it one time. That was tough to say.
Maybe it's
kind of a one-time
true.
Deal. Yeah, I don't even know what he said, but yeah, I think he got all the holidays in there. Hey, let's go ahead to our other caller, Brad. This one is from St. Paul, and Brad from St. Paul also wants to talk about healthcare and more specifically Marco Rubio and his bill that he put through on the Affordable Care Act. I think I know where you're going with this, Brad, in St. Paul, but why don't you explain to us what you're going to talk about in your own words?
Well, I have a friend of mine who is a, thanks for having me on, he's a contractor. And so he's self-employed. His insurance went up $30,000. Now, he's a right-wing guy, too. I said, he wasn't aware that Marco Rubio defunded his ability to afford insurance. And it was done quite quietly. You had to kind of dig around to find this information. And he wasn't even aware that they didn't say it. And the other thing is, I wonder how Mr. Rubio or this Texas judge or any of these other people would feel if it was their health insurance. See, it's very easy for them to do that to somebody else when there's no skin in the game. And I think if they're going to make laws that are going to affect everyone but them, that doesn't sit well with me. So if you're willing to take away my insurance, then you should be willing to take away your insurance. And there shouldn't be a difference.
The only problem I have with your logic there, Brad, is that, yeah, you could technically take away his government insurance, but I think the problem would be Marco Rubio, I think, is doing pretty well financially. I'm guessing he's making six, probably even seven figures a year. I'm sure he could still find some insurance on the private market.
No doubt.
Yeah, I would say he was also making the same salary as a middle class. I get what your logic
is.
Yeah.
If they're good for you, it's good for them.
Yeah. I would think if we were to say Marco Rubio, you also have to live with, let's be very modest, at $60,000 a year, then he would have some much different thoughts. Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Brad.
Yeah.
Good thoughts on that.
I think the better example is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and how her insurance when she was a waitress was much more expensive than when she's a congressperson now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she brought up an interesting example with that as well, talking about how she actually was one of those working class people, one of the rare working class people are actually getting in Congress, because a lot of these guys are lawyers, doctors, or former lobbyists that typically come in making six or seven figures a year. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, running a bit late here, so let's go ahead and take a break, but love to get your thoughts on health insurance. I have a few more ideas I want to go through, going back to Doug's proposal, then we'll get into Amy Klobuchar in the 2020 race, and we'll end the show with some lighter news as well. That's on the way next on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Hi, this is Paul Mezza inviting all of you out there in AM 950 land to listen to my radio show, The Wall of Power Radio Hour, every weekend on AM 950. We feature musicians, actors, politicians, homicide cops, record stores, Mezza walkumentaries. We've even had Bob Dylan's first drummer on Saturday nights at 6 p.m. Replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. You can also follow it at paulmezza.com. The Wall of Power Radio Hour. Cool people from all walks of life and all 50 states.
Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for all your holiday shopping. There's no better place to find that special gift for the book lover in your life. Pick up a new book or get a gift card at Common Good Books, your locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. Whether you're shopping for a child, teen, or adult reader, they'll help you get just the right gift. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or at commongoodbooks.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Jen of Vandalia Glassworks. Are you looking for a magical gift for the holidays? Consider the gift of art created from fire and blown to beautiful perfection. Vandalia Glassworks features stunning glass pieces that are one of a kind. Colorful, elegant vases, bowls, platters, paperweights, sculptures, tumblers, pendants, and more. Special pieces of art available for every price range. Find that special present at Vandalia Glassworks in St. Paul off the Vandalia exit north of 94. Find more at VandaliaGlassworks.com.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 41. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 33. Shop local is one of AM950's advertisers this holiday season. There's everything from electronics, wellness shops, pet care, restaurants, and much more. It's a great way to not only support AM950, but also local businesses and shops. Check out Electric Fetus, Northern Sun, Common Good Books, and more. For a full list of advertisers, visit AM950radio.com.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Hunter on your Tuesday afternoon. So we were talking a few minutes ago about the proposal that Doug Padgett had on his show yesterday, where basically catastrophic coverage would be funded by the government, but your smaller claims, those would be funded still through private insurance. And I think that could be a way to go that would gain some bipartisan support and, more importantly, get unanimous Democratic support, because one of the problems we ran into with Obamacare back in 2009, 2010, when we were trying to pass that, was, of course, the Blue Dog Democrats who said, I'm going to vote against anything that has a public option. Most notably, Joe Lieberman was among those people that was going to basically derail Obamacare if they didn't take out the public option. So this could be a way to maybe get around that, because, unfortunately, I don't think we can move to single-payer health care in one fell swoop, even under a best-case scenario in 2020. If Democrats were to recapture the White House, then win both the House and the Senate, I just think there would still be too many blue dog Democrats that would derail a single-payer effort. So I think this could be a step in the right direction, where we do kind of maybe a partial public health insurance idea. I'm not sure what exactly we can call the name for the I'll call it the Doug Padgett idea for now. But anyways, I really like it, because that's what really concerns me about health insurance. I'm okay with doing the small stuff on there through my private insurance. It's, you know, God forbid if I get a terminal diagnosis, a car accident, or I need a surgery. That's when I'm really going to run into some tough financial positions with my insurance.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the examples where people would see, you would get Republican voters all for this as soon as they started benefiting from it or seeing family members that benefited. This would be something that immediately benefited so many people, and that you would see then constituents who don't currently support single-payer health care who would be pushing for it because of how they saw this work out for them.
Another reason why I think you would need that bipartisan support. Interesting survey that was put out by the who put out this email or this survey? I think it was Politico I saw. They published this, but basically it shows that support for government-run healthcare basically is at its highest when Republicans are in power, and it's at its lowest when Democrats are in power. Going back to 2006, in the height of George W. Bush's unpopular administration, 69% of people supported having government-run healthcare. While during the height of the ACA, when that was getting passed in 2009-2010, support actually dropped to 47%. Now that we have Republicans back in charge, it's risen again to 57%. So that's a correlation that I find kind of fascinating, that people generally go against whoever is in power. So, of course, if we were to get Democrats in control of all three branches of government, we would probably see support drop again for single-payer health care, which, again, goes back to the need for maybe having a bipartisan health insurance solution. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's go to David in St. Paul. He has a question about reinsurance. Hi there, David.
I have a question about reinsurance, but I'd also like to speak on what you just talked about, and that could be the fact that public health, public support for protections regarding healthcare insurance go up with Republicans, that because they only talk about repealing healthcare, so people may have the fear of their healthcare disappearing, thus the support for healthcare, their protections may go up with, you know, when it's under attack, but. Regarding the insurance, the reinsurance, wasn't that a caveat in order for the Republicans to agree to that? Wasn't that the state of Minnesota had to have HMOs come in, and for the first time in state history, we had HMOs, for-profit HMOs running this program?
Boy, you kind of stumped me on that one. That's a little before my time, because, and thanks so much for the call here, David. We'll do our best to do some research on that. Maybe call us back another time, because as the ACA was getting passed and just being implemented, I was turning 26 years old at that point. So before then, I was kind of naive because I was kind of riding free on my parents' health insurance plan. So I'll fully admit I wasn't really quite paying full attention to the health insurance debate. It's only until I really had to go on that individual market when I started paying closer attention to healthcare and health insurance. Not to say I was completely naive on the issue. I was still very much in favor of single payer, but I paid a lot more close attention once I got onto that individual market when I turned 27. But unfortunately, David, yeah, I don't quite have a good answer for you there on reinsurance and HMOs. But Hunter and I, and even Doug, will try to do our best to do a little research on that and try to answer your question at a later time. Let's keep running the phone calls. We got Gary in Minneapolis. Hey there, Gary.
Well, to go back to the history of the Republicans, they've always been pretty darn worthless, you know what I mean? Back in the 40s with Harry Truman, they got a hold of Congress and they passed the right to work to kill the unions. And we're still suffering from that, taps hardly. So, but I do have to say that, you know, under Ike, there was some moderation. They had to be, or they would have been thrown out of office. People then had suffered under the 30s Depression, and they wouldn't put up with this garbage they're doing now. And now we have the same inequality in income today as they had in the 30s, as they say. But the reason it is bad is we still have some of this government New Deal stuff left to keep us from suffering as much, you know, like Medicare and things like that. They didn't have Social Security. They had nothing in the 30s like that to keep us from suffering. But anyways, what I was going to say was, you know, these Republicans, these lawyers, doctors, professional people, business people, so many of them, their families had nothing. There was basically such a little middle class that hardly existed before Roosevelt. And the biggest beneficiaries was the huge white middle class that rose out of the Depression with the New Deal. And so many were left out, like a lot of minorities, a lot of people with disabilities, a lot of women. A lot of women also prospered because of their were married to their husbands and that. And now, this Alexandria Ocasio
Cortez.
What's your last name?
Cortez.
Cortez. She was protesting with about 200 of her followers, all young kids at high school and college, to get Medicare for everybody, free college, stuff like that. The younger generation likes socialism. They're back to where we were in the 30s. They're going to change this country, and the Republicans better go away or change, or they're done for.
Good words to live by there, Gary. I hope they go away as well. Got me fired up there.
Gary's
How about you,
my
Hunter?
Favorite because most older people have such a terrible view of our generation, and Gary's always out there saying positive things. So
Gary's in
I
the
love it, Gary.
Yeah, Gary's in the minority, unfortunately, on that. But we need more people like Gary to realize that sometimes as you get older, your ideas become a little more conservative and not so good.
Oh, on that, you know why
See,
that
I get
happens.
You fired up whenever we talk about millennial issues, don't I? Yeah.
Why you get more conservative with age has more to do that conservatives are more well-to-do to begin with, and poverty causes more left-wing people to die at younger ages.
Oh, that's deep there. I never thought of that. That's something we got to explore on a later show at some point. That's more than a two-minute conversation that we can have right now.
Yeah, I just got fired up.
Yeah, I love it. Let's go to Rich in Minneapolis. He also wants to talk about healthcare. Hi there, Rich.
Hello, Brett. You talked a minute ago about healthcare somehow being unpopular when the ACA was forming. Well, we need a real quick little history lesson. When the Republicans were in charge way back, when Clinton was in charge, he wanted to get something going for healthcare for all, and so Hillary came up with a single payer, and the Republicans came up with an alternative called pretty much ACA.
Romney, so nothing got
through. And then Obama, he got in charge, and he, got this ACA going. But you got to remember, prior to that, while he and Michelle were dancing at their inaugural balls, the Republican leadership were in a room, and it's called the Caucus Room Conspiracy, where 13 Republicans, led by Frank Luntz and Newt Gingrich, pledged to obstruct and block anything Obama would do. So now fast forward to the ACA that Obama tried getting going. And you know how, and right away he said that this is just the building blocks, and it needs to be expanded and worked on. And you know how the Republicans responded to that? That googly-eyed, bug-eyed Michelle Bachmann started screaming at the top of her lungs, "Death panels, death panels." Mm-hmm. And so hence the popularity of ACA went down from there.
Yeah, that's...
And that's that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Rich. Nice little history lesson on that. Hunter, you want to chime in?
Yeah, just before we change topics, because I think it's important for our listeners just to know this. I talked to you about this earlier, but here in Minnesota, we have a situation, which is good, because we're at the forefront of addiction treatment, is that you can enter into addiction counseling and treatment without insurance, and while you are going through your stay there, they will find you insurance and get you on either a medical assistance or whatever. But anyone can enter into treatment no matter how uninsured they are.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. I had no idea that was a thing, but that's such a great program we have here in Minnesota. I think that's, again, something that's going to be, we should devote a larger segment of time to, because that's important to talk about.
Yeah, I'll kind of be talking on Thursday about
this. They're a little tease for Thursday's show. Yeah, because I didn't know about that, and that's a great program, because I think so many people, if they have addiction problems, they're intimidated by, well, I got to pay this much money. I don't know if my insurance is going to cover it. No, you can enter those programs without it going through to your insurance right away. So that's a great thing we have going here in Minnesota. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Very lively discussion we had on healthcare. If we have any more callers, we'll continue that. Otherwise, during the final segment, we'll talk briefly about Amy Klobuchar in 2020, and then maybe end with some lighter stories if we have some time. Up next.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. You've heard me talk about this place for a long time, and this holiday season, it's time to get your loved one a gift that will last a lifetime. Their experts know all the latest trends and will help you find the perfect gift to fit any budget, with an amazing in-stock selection to choose from. Stay away from the craziness of the malls and visit Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift.
The holidays are the perfect time to give and receive at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. For every $100 in gift cards purchased, also valid at Burger Mo's, receive a bonus $20 gift card for yourself. Consider the Downtowner Woodfire Grill's lovely private dining room for your holiday parties and gatherings. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list and bar, you'll be back for more. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the most informative source for progressive politics and news in the Twin Cities. Get involved online at am950radio.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the local businesses that help make this content available, and stay up to date on the latest news and upcoming events. You can always reach us by email at comment@am950radio.com. That's comment@am950radio.com. Thanks for listening.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Visit ready.gov/kids and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
This holiday season, think outside the everyday chocolate box. Make a splash with your friends, family, and clients with elegantly packaged artisan chocolates from Chocolat Celeste. Come taste the intoxicating flavor of the finest European chocolate, handcrafted with love by founder and chocolatier Mary Leonard. Mary and her staff will help you understand the kind of chocolate that everyone wants and dreams about. Watch while the recipient opens the box. It's like a beautiful piece of holiday artwork. Then watch them taste the sweet and complex flavors.
This holiday season, Chocolat Celeste has created an artisan collection for AM 950 listeners. Get 25% off of 6, 12, and 24-piece collections in-store only. A winter-themed truffle box of raspberry, Grand Marnier, peanut butter, key lime, lemon, Thai spice, Frangelico, and more. Open 9:30 to 5:30 daily, Chocolat Celeste is located at 652 Transfer Road in St. Paul, just 4 blocks off I-94 at the Creighton Vandalia exit.
Chocolat Celeste, the way chocolate is meant to be.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Well, I should stop pointing fingers.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Just a few minutes left on the show as Brett and Hunter are in on your Wednesday afternoon. By the way, tomorrow we'll have Doug Padgett and Hunter Haas. Actually, no, it's Doug Padgett and Eric Nelson tomorrow. Hunter Haas is back on Thursday. You'll be actually working with me. We'll be in reverse, though. I'll be sitting on that producer chair. I get to mail it in that day. You got to do the hard work and do all the prep that time. So there you go. But I think we kind of previewed some good subjects that you might be talking about on Thursday, maybe planting the seeds on some good talking points coming up for Thursday. And a couple of miscellaneous things I wanted to touch on before we wrap up the hour. I know we have a few more callers on the line. We'll see if we have some time to get to them. But I wanted to talk about Amy Klobuchar in 2020 because she has actually been rising pretty significantly in some of these Iowa and New Hampshire polls over the past few weeks. In fact, Senator Klobuchar is now attracting the notice of potential Iowa caucus goers, according to a Knoll poll released by the Des Moines Register. Actually, it was the straw poll, I should say. She's actually now polling in at 10% when originally she was closer to only 1 or 2%. Now, in a big Democratic field, 10% is actually a pretty significant amount of the vote that she's picking up right now. 10% is nothing to, is not a bad thing to be in. She's currently in fourth place in that crowded Democratic presidential field. She's trailing Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. By the way, two candidates who I don't think are going to run in 2020. Sorry, that's still my prediction. I don't think either of those guys are going to run in 2020, and those are two of the three people that she trails. So she could really end up vaulting high up in these polls and maybe being one of the front runners as we head into late 2019. Some other figures I wanted to bring up, though, from that poll was that Bernie Sanders actually is only getting pledged support from one-third of the people that backed him in Iowa in 2016. So you wonder if some of these people who supported Bernie Sanders in 2016 are maybe open-minded towards some other progressive candidates. That just kind of jumped out at me. I assumed Bernie would be pulling in at around 40 or 50% at this point just because he has such a big network and infrastructure already built in. But it turns out right now, Bernie is polling at just 30%, according to this straw poll released down in Iowa. Beto O'Rourke is only at 11%, but Elizabeth Warren, she has really fallen off the radar, unfortunately. She's dropped down to just 4%. She was at 9% earlier this year. A lot of that is attributed to some of the gaffes she's made on the campaign trail over the past few months, especially with the whole DNA thing that she got caught up with Donald Trump, which I think she kind of played right into his hands. But yeah, Amy Klobuchar rising in the polls. And in fact, according to the Wall Street Journal, when asked recently who Republicans should fear most in the 2020 presidential campaign, two prominent GOP figures, both of them women, by the way, speaking independent of each other, gave the same response. They said Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota is the candidate they fear the most. They say the party's energy and money right now come from the heavily blue coastal areas, but the Democrats lost in 2016 because Donald Trump shot through traditional Democratic territory in the industrial Midwest, territory the party showed this year it's capable of winning again, and they think Amy Klobuchar has the best chance of recapturing that industrial Midwest. A few more minutes left on the show. Hunter, I got one question for you to follow up on something we talked about from last week. Remember, we talked about some of these right-wing dating apps, and you ended up signing up for Writer, the right-wing dating app.
That's right.
And what I love when you signed up for this app, it ended up selecting a random photo from your phone. And of all things, it ended up selecting a photo of Ken Bone. Isn't that great? If you're not familiar, Ken Bone is the guy who back in 2016 during the presidential debates, he was that guy in the red shirt and the glasses that ended up asking one of the questions and he became an internet meme. So your picture is Ken Bone. And I got to ask you, Hunter, have you gotten any messages on there yet?
So I just pulled it up. Absolutely no messages. And I can't even see if there's any activity. Oh, no, there's one girl. Let's see.
Oh, let's see. Let's pull it up in the final 30. Oh.
She didn't like me.
Oh, she doesn't like you. What's on her profile?
She looked about 50, 60 years old.
Okay, so probably a little too old for us on that. But yeah, that's Writer, the right-wing dating app. And if you find Ken Bone on there, that's actually Hunter. I think you got to use one of those MAGA likes. Those only cost $29.99 a month. Hey, by the way, Randy, sorry, ran out of time for you. Try back tomorrow or on Thursday. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Don't touch that dial. The Norman Goldman Show is coming up next on AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Listen live at am950radio.com.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.